Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined by Fred Jackson and Wesley Wildman, and now we are joined by Steve Paisley Jordahl, and he is living up to his name
today.
Yeah,
I got the Paisley on today.
Yeah?
Yeah. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking, Steve.
Well, I was wondering because somebody checked on Ed.
Because your cough drops, which are usually ordered in precise lines, are just a jumble down there.
You hadn't been paying attention over the last several months. I've just given up because I'm surrounded by people. I would come in from a break, and they'd be scattered.
Anyways.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I did.
Giving
I used to have them. Four on the bottom, four above it in a line, and then two above it for my 10 that I bring every show.
OCD much?
just a little bit.
So we've now completed Egg's segment of I've given up.
Yes.
And so he's given up on that. Tomorrow we'll find out what else you've given up on.
Yes. Yeah. You know, at some point you just, you're swimming upstream and you just say, you know what? I'm all tuckered out.
Fish
I'm going
baby.
With the flow.
Right?
So all these guys in here who, my good grief, Brent Creeley, our producer.
He thinks
I come
funny
in
too.
And he hides my Diet Coke. I never know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
But they don't know that I'm taking.
Be on the lookout, Ed.
Be on the lookout?
There could be sabotage of that Diet Coke.
Well, let me just let you all know that is a bridge you ought not cross.
Too far.
Yeah, that's too far. Okay, Steve.
Hey.
As I call you, Steve-O.
Yeah.
What do we got?
You guys remember a couple years ago that there was some suspicious something happening to our personnel in Cuba? They were coming home with some brain issues.
Yeah,
headaches and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And, some with some damage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Catherine Herridge, who's a very respected reporter, she used to be at Fox, then she went over to CBS, and now she's kind of independent with these new class of independent journalists. This is what she is reporting. Top U.S. neuroscientist and military advisor, his name is James Giordano. He is the director of the Center for Disruptive Technology and Future Warfare. Hmm. That's kind of a cool thing. He confirms that there are reports of credible directed energy weapons, weapons attacks. They've happened on U.S. soil and targeted U.S. personnel abroad. And I want to let you hear, this is directed energy weapons. This is microwaves, basically, that they can shoot at you. And let's just listen to Cut 13. This is James Giordano.
Are reports of directed energy weapon attacks inside the U.S. credible?
Absolutely. These are weapons of maximum disruption. It allows you to get in fast, hit hard, get out, and then, and only then, will the effects begin to be known.
Giordano showed us how brain injuries like Beck's can happen. Hollow spaces in the skull, the mouth, nose, ears, and eye sockets can become echo chambers, funneling energy waves into the brain with catastrophic consequences.
That's what a directed energy weapon attack does.
Yes, ma'am.
It fundamentally disrupts the brain network.
Yes, ma'am.
And can cause brain cell death.
Yes, ma'am. It can cause both brain cell death and change in the functional ability of various cells and nodes in the brain to be able to maintain the networks that are so vital to our thought, our emotions, and our behaviors.
All right. Now, I do want to just to clarify that not all DEW weapons are microwave weapons.
You said there are three kinds.
Yeah, okay. So, I have a lot of respect for Catherine Herridge. That's how you pronounce her name. Okay, so is this report that she was doing? I don't know if it's a series of reports or what. And this individual with whom she was speaking, are they suggesting that these weapons were used? So this gets to pretty scary ground here.
All right, I got my coffee.
Listening. Used by enemies of the U.S., or is the suggestion that the U.S. itself is experimentally using its own weaponry on American citizens without their knowledge?
She's alleging both, actually. But
I thought we were going to get Steve's opinion.
Well, no, I did. Yeah, this is her report.
Yeah,
because this is. Let me just preface and just say before you get into your answer that this has been one of those conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And we all know, we've seen the memes on social media that a conspiracy theory is an idea that is dismissed, and then 6 months later we find out it's real. Okay?
Well, so, not all conspiracy theories, do we?
Right. But increasingly the things that people have been saying are true and being dismissed, we're finding out. And this is one of them. Yeah. This is one of them. Now, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I am usually very skeptical, like the ideas about what happened in Hawaii with the fires, that was a directed energy weapon causing them. But this freaks me out a little bit. Okay, so with your explanation.
Yeah, let me read.
Reassertion here.
I'm reading here. Do attacks happened after this gentleman Beck, who's one of the Cuban guys, permanently brain damaged, discovered operation targeted in the USA by a hostile country. The attack, three, USA, Russia, and China all have due capabilities. Try to find the specific thing here. I'm going to walk back that the USA is using it on its own people for right now. I haven't listened to this. I just found this before I came in. But let me just say this. The reason this is kind of a game changer is because, like Catherine was saying, you could fire it at somebody. They don't know they've been hit.
Right.
Walk away, go back to Havana or Moscow or wherever. And then within the next day or so, or a couple days, all of a sudden, cascades start to happen in the brain.
Yes.
And it's a way of, I mean, and how do you can defend against, like Secret Service can defend against a bullet because they see a guy up there with a gun and you hear a gun crack. Well, I suppose these directed energy weapons have a form, so you could look for them. But they can be fired from within a building. You can hide them.
Listen. The U.S. has been working on, as well as some of these other countries, but I know the U.S. has been working on kind of urban warfare, but also urban pacification capabilities. So if you have riots that are of a huge scale, there has been a great deal of research into ways to pacify the rioters without firing a shot or using tear gas. And that, I'm not sure those are all directed energy weapons, but some of them have to do with sound. Anyway, this is a whole field that a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to. My tendency would be to think that this is might be the Russians or the Chinese trying to figure out what this capability can get them.
When you say pacify, then what do you mean?
That means the riot is broken up and people run because their eardrums.
Oh, okay.
In other words, you don't have to fire a shot.
Yeah.
Or otherwise use kinetic weapons that use
force. So different
than
like a loud horn.
Yes. I'm just kidding. Yes. Yes. No.
That's funny.
It is funny, but when you put your hands over your ears over something like that, like a loud horn, this is times 10 or 20.
Well, it doesn't need to go through your ears to damage your brain. So
anyway,
this is what the...
And I don't want to spend the whole half hour on this, so I'll give you one
more. Yeah, because you've already lost me.
Okay, yeah, we can move on. But I just want to say that as far as your question about U.S. using it, I hadn't heard it specifically, but I am reading from Citizen Free Press their headline, U.S. has used directed energy weapons on U.S. soil targeting Americans, including CIA whistleblower. That's their headline from them listening to the whole interview. So just stay tuned.
I'm not questioning you, Steve. This is my skeptic part.
Yeah.
I have to see, you know, when people say pictures or it didn't happen, I need to see more proof of that before I say that about the American government, U.S. government. But I am now, for the first time in my life, a little bit less skeptical. So anyway, let's go ahead and move on.
All right.
Maybe we'll revisit these kind of things in the future.
I want to go back to just something that happened during this Supreme Court hearing on the school books and the opt-out for the parents. You've heard a couple of the exchanges between justices. I want to play you another one. And this is Ketanji Brown Jackson. And I want you to hear what she has to say. Cut 11.
I guess I'm struggling to see how it burdens a parent's religious exercise if the school teaches something that the parent disagrees with. You have a choice. You don't have to send your kid to that school. You can put them in another situation.
And boom, radical Democrats are now pro-school choice.
Hey!
Well, all right, I've talked enough, Fred. Ketanji Brown Jackson has been criticized because she basically denied evidence that was put, that the Supreme Court heard earlier and has really kind of defended the school's mm-hmm. policy. I'm not sure who else is going to join her, but it seems clearly she's one of those defending this.
Yeah, here's where she is on this. It's very interesting. You know, we joke about it, all of a sudden she's school choice. But what is she really saying is, parents get a life. That's what she's saying to these parents. And I think it's very interesting, just in the last half hour, we played what Justice Gorsuch had to say. He read the books.
Right.
He says, and he's challenging the lawyer for the Montgomery School District. You're presenting this to three-year-olds? You're really doing this? Jackson, on the other hand, is saying, parents, get over it. Move your kids somewhere else.
Yeah.
She's all in on the idea that parents should not have the right to opt their little three-year-old little girl or little boy out of this. What it is indoctrination.
Yes.
Listen, this school is after the hearts and the minds of 3- and 4-year-olds.
And I'll tell you, I'll back that up for you, because the reason that they are trying to force these kids in without the opt-out is because so many parents didn't want their kids being part of it, that it was destroying the classroom.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, well, okay, here's a curriculum that our parents don't want, maybe let's just ditch it.
No, right.
We are going to push it, and we're going to require kids to be there because so many of them don't want to be.
It's hard to indoctrinate kids if the parents won't cooperate.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what's happening. Wesley, what's your take? You're doing the Tim Wildman stretch right now, so I don't want to lose you.
I'm doing my part. I'm playing the role of dad here.
Yep.
So that means is it this time in the show where I become liberal now? but when I say become liberal, he likes to sometimes play liberal.
Well, he plays devil's advocate. Yes. That's what we call it.
He says I'm playing liberal.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, all right.
He used to call me the liberal.
That's right.
And then now he's jumped in. He wants to be more liberal than I am.
When
I play devil's advocate.
No, this is not the Tim Wildman stretch you're losing me. This is a Tim Wildman stretch where I'm thinking through what I'm about to say next.
Yeah.
Because this stuff gets me worked up.
Yeah.
I get pretty mad about this. These are the issues when you're talking about children where they can't speak for themselves.
Right.
So the adult has to. And this is where I get pretty upset. Okay. But specifically on this issue, I don't understand the whole this would be more of a Supreme Court legal issue, I would think, if they're saying yes to the book or no to the book. The fact that this is a matter of an issue where the parents get to decide whether they are participating, this has nothing to do with math.
Right.
This is not Common Core where they're debating over how we should be doing math.
Yes.
Okay. This is not a matter of science. Or anything like that. This is a book that promotes LGBTQ issues that the parents don't want. In fact, the other way around, if there was a book that promoted another issue that other parents weren't interested in, if it's an make it an option, I don't understand why.
How about the book Johnny Comes to Christ?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, this is, I don't see this, I don't see why this is this big of an issue for the other team on the issue of opting in or opting out. I think that settles it for me.
Well, but here's the thing. As Fred pointed out, this is an issue, or somebody said it, this is an issue of indoctrination. Mm-hmm. And so the other side wants to indoctrinate the kids. And so in order to indoctrinate them, they have to start from a very young age. And by the way, this has been, I wrote a series of articles back in the late 90s. This is how far this goes back, where I quoted homosexual activists who said, you know what? And this is pretty close to the actual quote. You know what? There are plenty of graves still available for all the old people who won't cooperate. That's why we're looking at teaching children to be more accepting. Because they said we're never going to convince all these old fogies, but when they die off, we'll have a new generation of kids who believe like we do. And that's why these people don't want parents opting out.
Right. And furthermore, this is their only way to indoctrinate children because they don't have children of their own.
So well, that's good.
They have to use the public schools in order
half
to do
it. Half of them
have
cats.
Yep. And who's a fan of cats? We just lost people there.
Listen, we love our listeners and supporters who have cats. Okay. In fact, I have two. We have two that we're trying to get rid of. They are good buddies. They go as a pair. So just contact. No.
Okay. Hey, in all seriousness, think about that for a second. They have to use entertainment and public schools. Those are their two primary ways, entertainment and public schools, that the LGBTQ agenda has to force their ideology.
Right.
Because they don't, most of them don't have families of their own or children of their own.
Well, they got a fight on their hands, and now it's reached the Supreme Court. I don't know what happens. It seems as if, Fred, give you the last word on this, and then we'll move on, but it seems as if they may lose this in the Supreme Court based on what a majority of the Supreme Court justices have said. But it is also notoriously difficult to read and get the final verdict by what justices say during kind of this cross-examination. So I don't know what happens if SCOTUS rules against these parents. I don't know what people do next.
Yeah,
other than pull their kids out of public school.
The reports coming out of the reporters who actually covered this for the day on Monday, I think it was two and a half hours of arguments. They were saying it looks like the Supreme Court will rule in favor of the parents.
Yeah.
Especially when, and we played this, Justice Kagan, who is considered on the liberal side of the Supreme Court. We heard her, what she had to say. She said, wait a minute, I read the stuff too.
Yeah.
And this is not appropriate for religious reasons or not.
Right.
She said. And don't forget, this is an affiliation of sort of parents who are Christian, who are Jewish, and who are Muslims.
That's true. In fact, Mahmoud is the plaintiff, who's a Muslim guy.
Yes. So I think based on that, you know, these justices, I think, are, wait a minute now, we don't just have a bunch of right-wing Christians coming in here. We've got Muslims. We've got Jewish parents who are all very concerned about this. Now, what your dad did say the other day, what Tim did say the other day, was the answer to this is you got to change that school board.
That's it.
You know, that's the bottom line in this. And the question is, do we have enough parents, enough voters in Montgomery County, Maryland, to say, we're not going to put up with this school board supporting this kind of thing. And in the next election, we're going to run a bunch of people who don't agree with the current school board. We're going to get these people out of there.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen.
All right.
Well, that kind of rhymes with the next story I have. Have you guys talked about David Hogg yet?
Nope. We have not.
The Democrat Party is, there's a battle going on for the heart of the Democrat Party. So we know the squad is out there squatting, and they want to pull the Democrats far, far to the left. They're all into the DEI. They're all over the gay books in schools.
They're all defending the gang members who have been deported.
Yeah, if there's a left issue, they take it to extremes. And that's what they want the Democrat Party to do. One of the movers and shakers within the Democrat Party is a guy named David Hogg. He first came to national light because he survived a school shooting at Stoneman Douglas High School. And then he went very, very gun control.
Right.
And started doing speeches. And then he was just named or elected or chosen to be the co-chair of the DNC, the Democrat National Convention, the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And
he's as deep as he is tall.
Yes.
Short fella, and he's got very shallow in his views.
Yeah.
And so he is saying the Democrat Party is basically that are controlling a bunch of 80 and 90-year-olds, and they got to go. We need young blood. So what he is saying is he has raised tons of money to primary Democrats in safe Democrat seats with younger, more liberal, progressive, whatever you want to
call it, candidates.
So this
is like the possibility of AOC primarying Chuck Schumer kind of thing.
And let's listen. Karl Rove was talking about this on Fox. Cut 12.
Well, I think this is Hogg trying to sort of rescue himself because he announced he turned 25 on the 12th of April. And 3 days later, he announced as the Democratic National Committee vice chairman that he was going to raise $20 million to defeat older Democratic incumbents in the U.S. House of Representatives. And, it's sort of unusual. James Carville, the raging Cajun, immediately said it was the most insane thing he ever heard. A Democratic Party official who says, my first responsibility is to defeat Democrats. I mean, really, really strange. And the Democrats have really shook up over this. Mr. Hogg's an interesting character. He actually has a super PAC called Leaders We Deserve. Last year, last cycle, he raised $11.9 million for that PAC. He spent $10.7 million of it, but only $266,000 or 2.48% was spent on campaigns or transfers to other federal committees.
Wow.
So most of that money was spent on, overhead.
So he's hearing from the leadership of the Democrat Party, you got to stop this or we'll kick you out.
Go ahead. Should we support Hogg here or not?
I think we can all agree that there is a Hogg at the heart of the Democratic Party. Listen, this is interesting. That last part Karl Rove said, so the vast majority of that money he raised was spent on overhead rather than on campaigns. Mm. It's interesting because I saw on X over the weekend, or maybe it was last week sometime, David Hogg was saying things that are going to be coming out about me, you don't need to be listening to it because they're coming after me. That may be very well
preemptive
be
attack.
What he was talking about is people asking questions about how the money that he raised was spent. And if it's on overhead, that could be anything from him flying first class across country to
buying homes,
BLM, homes,
BLM.
So that's very interesting coming from Karl Rove. But I think we can all agree the Democratic Party is in, at least as we have known it, Fred.
Shambles.
It's in shambles, but we cannot be sure what it's going to look like in 2026 and certainly not 2028. What's it going to look like, and what is it going to stand for?
Well, the Hogg story is just part of something larger that's going on. You've got AOC out there campaigning. And what the Democratic Party has got to do, and they got to do it very quickly, they've got to put this radical left side to rest.
Right.
Because if that is what is presented to the American people in the midterms next year, they know, the old experts in the party know.
Like Carville.
Yeah. They're going to lose big time.
Yep. And it could kill the Democratic Party brand.
Yes.
For a generation. Uh-huh. The problem for the Democrats.
Wesley's question. Should we put money into the PAC?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Send money to Hogg.
Yeah, go Hogs. Go Hogs.
Go Hogs. All right. Anyway, folks, we talked about a lot of interesting stuff today. That's what we do. And hope you will join us tomorrow for Trivia Friday. But there is more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Keep listening.